Hello.
Welcome to today's show, right? Right on. So welcome to our pre-show for the 6th. And on the 7th, the 7th of December on Wednesday. All right, let's plug back in. I mean, I just had the microphone fall off the fucking boom. Because the screw was loose. If you want the honest opinion, the screw was loose, man. Like so many other things in my life. Was it my fault? Yes. Did I not attend to it when I should have earlier? Yes. Sound like Al Pacino and Glengarry Glen Ross. Is it something that you should look at? Yes. Do I know what it means? I don't know anymore. Okay, what we'll do today is, I had this idea that David G. Hall bitches me out for having that nut. Frank Gray has gotten way over the line, and something's got to be done in the mind of David G. Hall. Just thinks that Frank Gray is like, you know, just like.
Phil, I want to ask you about this guy, Frank Gray.
Go ahead.
All right. Why is there an echo every time I hear you?
Because the mic pot is very hot.
Oh, the mic pot's hot. All right. Well, look, here's the thing. This guy with the it, everything's an it.
I understand that is the way he talks, but we've been able to, down through the years, understand him.
Right, but my point is, why do you even need to do that? Why is this guy on?
David, you're talking about my husband, so I think I deserve to be... involved in this.
Jesus, H. You hear that? I got a woman over here.
Just talk to me. My husband, Frank, has given very good legal advice, great cultural significance to a lot of the things he says.
No, I know that. I'm not putting it down. But everything, when he said, hey, my son, it played, and then he talks about you. He said, I love it very much, and it's the apple of my eye. I don't know how the audience relates to that, Phil, and it gives me the creeps.
All right, listen. Margaret said it. You know, Frank brings a certain legal expertise and a cultural knowledge about Los Angeles, about South Florida, when we've been traveling down there.
What's the thing with South Florida? Who cares?
Because I used to live there, man, and because there is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What's with the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
I'm doing a level check.
Okay, shit.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2. There is a, testing 1, 2, 3. So there's this thing going on with the thing.
All right, I understand. I think. When you say there's a thing going on with the thing, how can I argue with that?
So what is the upshot of your being on the show?
The upshot is, I want you to start looking at some of these people. Why don't you get on Tom Dofka more often? Why don't you get on Mike Flanagan? I got Mike Flanagan the other line.
You got who?
Mike Flanagan. Why don't you have him on more often?
Oh, he's the man. He's the guy that is in business with Bob Green?
Well, he was in business with Bob Green. He's got some very interesting things. Mike, you there?
I'm right here, David, yes.
Mike, tell Phil what you've been telling me.
Well, I first of all, I'm going to leave my partnership with Bob Green because I felt he's talking about Bob Green's Greens and Meats. He sold the name of Fraser Foods, and he's got this whole thing about how he takes... And he's got this whole thing about how he takes a load every weekend and the...
No, it's not him taking the load.
Well, what is that? Wait, hold on for a minute. Why do we got to talk about this? Hi, it's Bob Green. It's Bob Green. How you doing?
You're right, Bob. I was going to call you.
Well, you were going to call me, but instead you thought you'd just spill it out just like the Kintner boy all over this show.
Spill it out like the Kintner boy? Well, you're a real sick...
What are you doing?
I'm telling Mr. Henry...
I like it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. juvenile doesn't even begin to describe some of the things that come into my mind. Jackie Stein says, why don't you do more politics? Why don't you do a thing about he, she, and the whole... No, fuck that. I've learned my fucking lesson. As political as we get is when... is the show we had the other day when Frank Gray said he was going to walk nude down the down Hollywood Boulevard if Trump was indicted? That's as political as we get on this motherfucker. Oh man, I got some really good news today. I wish I could share it with you, but I can't. But I will if I I got some good kind of almost good news today. Oh, let me put this: it's a TV show that likes me very much to hire me for a small part. You know, these little things, they all add up, man. I don't have a big resume in television. My whole 50 years in the broadcast business has mostly been spent in, you know, as you know, in radio and doing this digital shit. Camera acting is this is a brand new thing, man. It just came about like when I first got back to California. And I was doing the show, and I remember when I was married at the time, we got contacted by a producer to come out and talk to them about this and that. And then we got contacted by another producer. Then I talked to Judd Apatow and was in his pilot for North Hollywood. And then I got a part on the old TV show AUSA, and things kind of build, you know. Did I know what I was doing? Fuck no, you know. So this is one of the reasons why I've been talking to you guys about doing theater. To get more of my shit together. All right. What the hell? Who is this chick? Pretty fucking hot. No. Don't you let love die. Winners and losers are two of a kind. That way they say winners and losers. Look at me singing a Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds song. How weird does that make me? Huh? Yeah, Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds. You guys remember that? I did a stint in what used to be called middle of... Oh, this is a thing from... I did a stint in what used to be called middle of the road radio, MOR radio. Today you'd call it adult contemporary, perhaps. And we played Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds. And we played Tony Orlando and Don. It was at a station called WKIS in Orlando back in the mid-70s. And holy Jesus Christ. I mean, I did this gig for a year. And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for all the experience I got in radio. But then I segued from that into album rock, and did they resent me, man. I went over to WORJ, and everybody there just thought I was the lamest motherfucker the world had ever seen. And Bill McGathy treated me good. He was a good PD and treated me good. But the other cats on the staff thought, Henry's over from MOR. The only problem with a lot of those guys is they knew a lot about music, and I knew a lot about music, but they didn't want to hear it. But on the air, they sucked, you know. There was a few. Doug Van Allen was great. Bill, I thought, was good on the air. That Steve Mack was strong. But a lot of these guys just sucked as broadcasters. But it didn't matter. So I left there, and I stayed at Album Rock Radio from that point forward. So I was at WORJ Orlando. I went to WNOE-FM in New Orleans, which was the strangest fucking AOR station I ever worked at. We had... Jimi Hendrix and George Benson. Well, I guess it wasn't that weird. In the same box, Jimi Hendrix and George Benson. Then I left WNOE-FM and I went to WSHE in Miami. And I was the music director there for several months. And then I went to K-West in Los Angeles, where I was the production director. And I did Afternoon Drive. And I sucked. And I did. I wasn't a very good disc jockey. And then I left K-West, got fired from K-West by a wonderful Ted Ferguson. I just want to shout out to Ted. Ted's an actor now and does a lot of stuff. I mean, the cat's got a big resume. And Ted, bless your heart, and he and I are friends now on Facebook. And I just want to go for the record, Ted, I'm glad you fired me. You should have fired me. He was my program director at K-West. And then I left there, and I sat on my ass. I said, what am I going to do? So I got a part-time job at KGB in San Diego, KGB-FM. And I went to work for Westwood One as a production guy. I edited tape. I engineered sessions. I engineered the Dr. Demento show. I engineered a special edition with Karen. Anything they asked me to do, I did as a general production guy. And then I graduated to producer. And I left KGB, and I came back to Los Angeles. I briefly went to KEZY in Anaheim, and I did weekends at KEZY in Anaheim. You know, I just kept getting jobs, and that was, you know, an album rock station that had an AM station. You know, to this day, I don't know what side was I on, AM or FM? I don't even know. I left KEZY, and God damn it, then I went to KNX-FM. Went to KNX-FM until the fall of 83. KNX-FM was which is now Jack FM, 93.1, and we did soft rock. That's what it was known for from the 70s. I left KNX-FM, I just quit, and basically went full-on into my production job at K-West, at Westwood One, and became a producer. I'm trying to think of how all this shit went down, man. And then I was a voice talent and producer on through to, you know, and then I got a part-time job in 1986 at KMET, the old KMET, Album Rock Station. And then that went belly up. KMET turned into The Wave. And then I went from there to a full-time morning drive job at LA's first classic rock station, KLSX. I was on morning drive with Marshall Phillips. And we did that gig for about two years. And again, it was just shit. So I decided, you know, I hated being a disc jockey. And Rush Limbaugh had just began his, he'd just begun his talk show. And I recognized that there was room for personality on talk radio. There's no room for fucking real spread your wings, balls to the walls, balls to the wall personality on Album Rock, unless you did morning drive. And I wasn't really, it wasn't the right sensibility for me. So anyway, I quit everything. I don't know if I quit everything. Yeah, I pretty much quit. I got a part-time weekend talk show at KFI for about 8 months, something like that. But that sucked. I was doing guests and call-ins, and I even, to break in, I was the moderator for Nick Fedoroff's gardening show. I was the moderator. I was the guy like, all right, good morning. Welcome to the gardening show. There must be some tapes of that laying around. Then they gave me a weekend talk. Then I got fired from that job. And that's when I said, okay, I got to get serious here. I took a weekend Album Rock job out in Redlands at KCAL. And while I was there, I made audition tapes to do a talk show. And I had all the character voices on there. I had myself interacting with them. That's what I did. And I sent this tape all over the fucking country. I sent it to major markets. I sent it to small markets. I sent it anywhere that I could think of. Because I thought, if I could just get on the air with this, I don't give a fuck where, then I can, you know, start to stretch out. And I got a job offer right in my backyard, right here in Ventura at KVEN. Rich Galano, Dave Lowe, great people. They hired me and essentially kind of took the handcuffs off of me for the first time, and I went for it. I started doing character voices. I started interacting with callers. That's where it all started as a practical sort of application. That was the summer of 1990. I'd been a DJ off and on, you know, basically a DJ for 17 years. And now it's been over 30 that I've been doing this crazy shit. So, and I'm very happy that I, you know, what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is, if you want to be happy, at some point, you're going to have to pull the fucking trigger. What I mean by that is this. If you want to be happy, you want to be fulfilled, at some point, you got to swallow your fucking fear. You got to put your fucking balls in, in an iron safe and just go. Just step out and go. And remember what somebody said to me once, and everyone's said this in different forms. You get in there and fail. Get in there and fail. Get in there and fail. You fail, you keep going and keep going. Don't worry about failure, in other words. You keep at it. And I had that little job at KVEN. I had that for year and a half. I got fired from that job, but it just so happened 6 months before I'd been brought out to Atlanta because they'd heard about me in Atlanta because I was doing this goofy shit, and they brought me out for an audition in Atlanta. And I kept my job. It was not much of, I don't know, I kept the job in Ventura, but when I got fired, I reapplied to WSB. I told Jim Ashbury, a great man, where are you, Jim? And he hired me right away. He hired me to come out there and work 10 to 2 at night. And I was on in Atlanta for a year, and I got fired again. But Jim Ashbury had left WSB and gone to Minnesota to WCCO Minneapolis, and he hired me there. So I owe my fucking ass to Jim Ashbury, Rich Galano, Bob Green. There's a lot of people. And Jim hired me, and I was at WCCO for a year. And then Bob Green offered me the job in Miami. Bob had been my GM in Atlanta, and he'd been stationed. They had a GM and a station manager in Atlanta. They had more goddamn managers at WSB than you could shake a stick at. But Bob, I think, what were you, Bob, station manager? And by the way, I love you, Bob. He just lost his wife. She was ill. She passed on, and prayers to you, brother. But Bob hired me to go to Miami, and funny thing happened. I wasn't fired by WCCO. As a matter of fact, this ended the firing cycle. CCO offered me an extension on my deal. They offered me one more year. But it was a choice between the sun and the beach of Miami and the kind of the cold and the Minnesota Viking Minnesota Twin games, and there was no, it was no, you know, as much as I love my audience in Minnesota, and I had great listeners in Minneapolis, the Twin Cities, Miami called, and the station was great. WID was great. They had Neil Rogers, greatest radio talent that I've ever worked with. And it was a station that did personality talk. They didn't do news talk. Did personality talk. In other words, you went on the air and you're supposed to fucking be entertaining. You're supposed to be funny. You didn't do it, you get fired. Put somebody else in there. My kind of place. Then I went down to Miami and I did that. And I did that for 2 years, 2.5 years. And then the call came from KFI in Los Angeles, David Hall. And I flew out there and he offered me the job to do evenings at KFI. And that was the... That was the greatest, man. That was the high point of my career, that I had left L.A. basically just kind of a burned out failure as a disc jockey. And I was returning with this completely vetted, this package, this show, this radio show nobody else had ever done before. And I was doing it. And so that's the story there. That's how I got to be the bitchin' guy that I am. Yeah. All right. I'm glad I've sort of, thank you for allowing me to just kind of roll that out, because I was trying to remember all of that. What a ride it was, man. Oh my God, what a fucking ride. Crazy, crazy shit. Okay. Here we go. Testing 1, 2, 3. So David?
Right, see, here's the thing. The thing that bothered me more than anything else, Phil, was the fact that you had...
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're going to be bringing on David G. Hall, Mai Flanagan, and Bob Green. Bob Green, obviously, will be in a restaurant. David is where? In the car, as he usually is. Let's see. So that there sounds like the horse track it is. Here's a crowded cafe. This is going to be where? That's Bob Green. Then we want the car. Whoops. Who are we talking to? Talking to Bob. No. The first guy we talked to is David G. Hall. He's in the car. Then we talked to Mai Flanagan. What if Mai Flanagan... Is he at Chris Norton's studio? I'm over at Chris Norton's studio here, Route 66. Norton's explodes. Well, I thought I'd invest in one of these. He's got a film here that was interesting called Sex Explosion. I don't know. So you can hear that. Yeah, you're in. That's recognizable. Oh, yeah, we're very familiar. I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, if you want to go outside. Here's a place, a cigarette lounge. Right, I don't want to be caught here in a... This is very embarrassing. I don't know. So, Mai Flanagan... All right, baby. Let me see, surf. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go. All right, bitch. 1, 2, and 1, 2, 3.